Guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year, something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday too. How? Super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from our friends at Pajamagram. The hoodie footy is the ultimate solution to get her hot when she's freezing cold. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. She's going to love it. Go to pajamagram.com today. Use code SAVE10 and you'll save $10 on adult-size hoodie footies when you use that promo code SAVE10. That's pajamagram.com, SAVE10. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
The Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters. Break it down.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also, hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. You missed the first hour. Well, you missed Buzz Williams. And you missed a lot of NFL talk about legacies after Drew Brees' amazing performance last night. A couple follow ups to that is. JD says, from the conception of the NFL to 1985, there were only 11 quarterbacks that had 4,000 yards passing. And he breaks it up from 1986 to 94, there were 13. 2014 alone, there were 11. And he says it was much harder back then. It was rare. And again, I submit that context has everything to do with it. There weren't a lot of teams that were throwing the football. It was the way the league was set up was run, 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 defense, and then throw a pass here and there. Don Coryell changed a lot of that. That's why you saw the numbers go up. The teams that did throw the ball 500 times were able to put up yardage. Doesn't mean that the rules made it harder. It didn't make it harder because it did. But I also think that that's kind of gotten a little overstated.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that I think it did impact it, but I mean to try to, because I've had people tell me, oh, Dan Marino would have thrown for 6,000 yards that year with these rules. I don't know that that's the case. I mean, he put up the ball almost as many times as Roethlisberger did when he got his 5,000 yards. So, not belittling at all. I still think Marino, I would still take Marino over almost anyone, just like I would take Calvin Johnson over almost anyone as a receiver, if you're talking about I can have a guy for 5 years. But, you know, I just, that's all, clarification. And one thing we didn't talk about, are the Colts going to have to move on from Brisket?
No.
He has been awful for the last month.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just growing pains. He's a young dude. I don't know why Frank Reich is so enamored with him, because I look at him, I think he's good. I don't know that he's a franchise guy, but he's basically said that this is his guy. And I don't know if he's going to get significantly better, but I think you assume he has to improve some. I mean, this is really the first year that we knew he was going to be a full-time starter, and we didn't really know until right before the season started. So
right.
I do think you got to give the guy a little time to grow. I see some promising things in him. We've seen some flashes of it, but we've also seen some moments of, ooh.
Well, I think the reason I bring it up is just been a big regression throughout the course of the second half of the season when they were 5-2. And the running attack was
a lot of it was
part of it.
I mean, T.Y. Hilton went away for a while.
Yeah, but he first half of the season he completed 64.8% of his passes for a 99.7 quarterback rating. That's good. Since then, 58.5, 77.9 passer rating. And yeah, Hilton's been hit and miss.
What week did things go downhill?
For the first half of the season is what where his numbers were good when they were 5-3, I guess.
So, like, through the Texans game?
Yeah, pretty much.
That was the last time you saw T.Y. Hilton until last night, and you barely saw him last night. I think those things are very correlated. I mean, T.Y. Hilton, he changes. He wasn't healthy last night. It was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But when T.Y. Hilton is out there, he changes the way you can defend a team. And the Colts have become way more run dependent without him. I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing, but it's without T.Y. Hilton out there, you're not using the run to set anything up. You're using the run to set up more running. And it's hard for a quarterback to be good without a big threat like that, and like T.Y.
The other excuse you could use for him is those are his numbers since he sat out a game from the knee injury.
So you
could say that. But even without T.Y. Hilton, there shouldn't be a 22-point jump or drop in passer rating.
Probably not.
That's pretty significant. And you know, it's last night he just missed so many open passes that it was a bad look. I'm just curious because – yeah, I think we all thought he was going to be their guy. And you just wonder when guys regress that much, if maybe, you know, it is only his second real season doing this, if teams caught up to him. So
it's entirely possible. But I think that you've got to give Frank Reich a chance to groom that guy and turn him into what he thinks he's going to be. I still think Frank Reich is one of the better coaches out there. I trust that dude to know what's best. So I don't think he'll – I think if he didn't think he could do it, then he would pull the plug on it. But I think he believes he's got something in that guy, and that's why they committed him that money. And also, I mean, as bad as he's been for the last, 5 weeks, which has been where it's really been the worst – each of those 5 weeks, his QBR has been better than Tom Brady's.
Well, Brady's not exactly a standard right now.
It's funny to say, but that's...
That's just like the whole Mitch Trubisky has been as good as Tom Brady over the last six games thing.
And the thing that I like about Jacoby is I kind of thought that he would be more turnover prone than he is. He takes pretty good care of the ball, and... He's very much a low risk, low reward guy. He's got 6 interceptions on the season, which had I told you at the beginning of the year he was going to play in every game and he'd have 6 interceptions, you'd probably take that, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's just the upside of the passing game hasn't been there for him, especially in the last 5-6 weeks.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Somebody was saying that the NFL played fewer games back then. Well, they went to 16 games in 78. So that doesn't really impact things that much. I mean, and one of the most impressive seasons of any football player ever, nobody wants to hear this because he's a murderer, allegedly, but O.J. Simpson running for 2,003 yards in 14 games. it was amazing. And, you know, and that's why you can't really count anything before then, unless you want to really go down the rabbit hole of yards, passing yards per game and things like that. And I just don't think that's really a good use of your time.
No.
In my humble opium. All right, when we get back, I know we didn't get to this yesterday, but a lot of people wanted your take on the UFC card Saturday night.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Sure.
All right. Well, not on the line, but usually it's probably because he's out.
He's probably lawyering.
He's lawyering. He's winning a case for a blitzer because he pretty much does that I think 5-6 times a day now, because that's what Lawyer Dave does. He wins. And if you've been in any kind of accident, whether it's a car, 18-wheeler, industrial, workplace, slip and fall, Lawyer Dave takes care of you. If you've got issues with your doctor, maybe you got poor treatment, maybe they gave you the wrong drugs, well, he can take care of that as well. He practices everywhere in the state of Texas. Here's the best part. He doesn't charge a dime for consultations. And he's more than happy to help blitzers out, even if it's something he doesn't do. He'll send you to somebody who can help you if he thinks you have a case. And if you don't, he'll tell you right then and there. And he doesn't get paid a dime until you win. He likes to bet on himself, and he likes to bet on you. And he does really well with that. And if you need any kind of medical treatment and you can't afford it, well, if he takes your case, they're going to cover that for you. They're going to make sure that gets taken care of right off the top. Based here in Houston, but, man, if you're over in the Golden Triangle, anywhere, he'll take care of you. Give him a call, 713-626-8900, or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law, or you can go to LawyerDave.com, or just hit me up on Twitter or email, and I will give you all that information. 713-626-8900. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave. Better. Hope none of them got your name, because she's religious, and she talks to the saints.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. So, yeah, a lot of people were asking for your assessment of the UFC card.
Well, first of all, it was a really well put together card. There was some really great fights, and the fact that they had three title fights, which is on one card, which is a very rare thing, was really cool. You got to see a couple guys who I think are legitimately the future of this sport. Petr Yan, who beat Uriah Faber, just dismantled Uriah Faber, and Jeff Neal, who is a semi-local. He came up on the Houston fight scene. He's from Killeen. Dad was a military guy. But he came up fighting in Houston. I've fought on a card with Jeff Neal before. And since he's been in the UFC, has just dominated everyone. And he destroyed Mike Perry in no time flat. That dude is going to start being a main card guy. And is going to be a legitimate welterweight contender. He trains up in Dallas with Alex Morano at Fortis. Alex and a bunch of other studs up there right now. I thought that Jose Aldo beat Marlon Moraes.
I saw your tweet about that.
I felt bad for Jose. He's an older dude, and he doesn't have a whole lot of fights left in him. But I thought, the fact that he was taking on the best bantamweight or number one contender in the world, I thought he beat him. Dana White thought he beat him. Everybody thought he beat him. So I thought that was a tough break. Amanda Nunes continues to just be a force. I don't know if there's a woman who can beat her, at least not anytime soon, at either weight that she holds the title at. And then Max Holloway, great enough to come on our show, but he was just overwhelmed by Volkanovski in that fight. That was a lopsided showing. And I don't know if Max is losing a step or what, but... or if Volkanovski's just the next thing. And then Colby Covington getting his jaw broken is maybe the most poetic justice ever. After Colby saying, this is and I'm not an easily offended guy, so I won't say I was offended, but I always laugh when people say, my family served this country. Like that's the same as you serving the country somehow. It's really not. Like, if you were in the military, hats off to you. But just because someone in your family had the balls to do it, that doesn't somehow wash off onto you. And he said that the only thing Kamaru Usman's family has done is contribute to the penitentiary system. And just, he's a not very closeted racist. And, he does the act. And he's a super outspoken Trump guy, which... I don't really feel the need to bring politics into fighting, but it's part of the gimmick he was going for, I guess, and it got him a main event spot. But he got that work. He fought well. I thought he won the first round, actually, and he was competitive over the fight. But at the end, after round three, when he sat down, he said, my jaw's broken. And he was right. It was. And then he complained about the stoppage and ran from the ring. Like, didn't wait for any, sprinted out of the cage and to the back, which is kind of a hoe move. But overall, really good card, man. And that's the last pay-per-view of this decade, they went out with a bang. So I was pretty happy with it. And obviously, UFC 246 up next there's a lot of solid fights on it. But obviously, it's Conor McGregor and Donald Cerrone as the headliner, and that's gonna be what fills the building. And they don't when you have a fight like that, you don't have to build like a super great card. Although, like Holly Holm's on there, she's fighting, so she's a big draw. But that's a card that's built around Conor and Cerrone though. And then 247 will be February here in Houston.
Can't wait.
And I think we've got a great card here.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. People asking for hockey plays. One of mine went to 6.5, so I'm not touching it. Buffalo-Toronto, was, if you get it at 6, then take the over at 6.5. Don't touch it. Montreal-Vancouver, over 6. And the other game I'm looking at is Arizona at San Jose, over 5.5, but that's not an official one. The only one for sure, Montreal-Vancouver, over 6. There you have it.
All right.
Can I do a little TV update?
Yes.
I finished Watchmen, which I think the one thing you'll like about it is it's only a one-year deal. It basically was supposed to be a sort of a...
It's self-contained?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a sequel for a...
You like that.
I think the one thing about it is there's like all the first half of it was fantastic, and then it started drifting into backstories, and then... In the last episode, they crammed a whole bunch of stuff in there to make it all make sense, which has been a trend lately, I've noticed. Not a fan of it. It might be worth your time. I didn't love it as much as I'd hoped I would when it started.
I've heard some really good things about it, so I'm...
Well, you liked Leftovers, and if you did, it's basically Leftovers with superheroes.
Okay.
And I know you like superheroes, so I think you'll like it more than I did. I'm not saying it was bad, but... Yeah.
But it wasn't great.
Yeah, and then the other one that I finished up was His Dark Materials, which I would not recommend to anyone. I'm kind of out on orphan magic stuff.
Orphan magic?
Yeah, it's a long story.
It's different than kid with parents magic.
Well, either way, I'm kind of like, eh. But that really dragged.
What an odd genre, orphan magic.
Well, it's funny, I never thought of this, but a lot of the stuff written in England that involves orphans was after World War II, which kind of makes sense because
a lot of people died.
The one thing I am watching that I can highly recommend is Bad Blood, which if you like any kind of mob stuff, and Kim Coates, who's been on the show, who I'd like to get on again to talk about this because he plays a complete badass, which it's so funny to see a guy play this really violent, mean dude, and when you talk to him, he's just like the sweetest human being that ever lived. But he's a fantastic actor, I highly recommend it. It's about the mob and mafia in Montreal, but it also involves a lot of the New York mob and Italian mob. And I'm on halfway through season 2. Season 1 was great. So far, season 2 has been fantastic.
I just finished Jack Ryan, which I'm glad that I watched. I had already seen season 1, and I didn't know that season 2 was even coming out. And then it came out, and I watched it, and I think it was an excellent watch. Well worth the time. And I think it was only, it's like 8 episodes or something like
that. Yeah, it's not overwhelming. I watched
like
it the weekend. Yeah.
I like that more than I like 16 episodes. Like, that's too much for me. I think the next thing I'm going to do is watch The Irishman. I'm planning on getting that done. And then... I don't know what'll be next for me. I don't know what'll be my next thing to conquer.
Well, now that they're all done, you can just binge Watchmen.
I could do that. Because I'm all caught up on Peaky Blinders. Yeah, I mean, you've watched a lot of stuff that I haven't even started to even
The one advantage that I've had is I've been working from home a lot, and the wife was gone, so I could kind of watch whatever I wanted. And so that's it, during the day, that's a perfect time to do it. I just sit in front of the computer and do sports map stuff, and I can watch shows. And if I have to concentrate, I just pause them. And so I've gotten a chance to catch up on a lot of stuff. And but there's HBO looks like it's got some great shows coming from some of the previews I've been seeing. So, but yeah, I would say Watchmen, if you're a Watchmen fan, absolutely watch it.
Yeah.
And I already had a bad taste in my mouth from the movie because the movie was so bad, and I was really hoping this would be significantly better. And the way it starts, it's fantastic. It's really focusing on these racist groups, and they kind of lose some of that as it goes, and it's good. But I'd be curious what other people who watched it thought, because I know we have a lot of blitzers who have been on it. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Guys, it's gift season, and if you want to get something for the person in your life, or maybe you got a friend that's got a birthday coming up tomorrow, Whitmire's, get one of their great products, especially the new rye bourbon blend, which is fantastic. Travis came up with this. It is their new signature drink. It's in all liquor stores all over the city. You just go ask for it by name, Whitmire's Rye Bourbon Blend. There's still time to go out and do a barrel pick at the distillery, which is fantastic. A lot of you guys came out and did it with us a few weeks ago. Well, get your group together. Take all your friends, and you can go try several different barrels, and you pick them, and they'll bottle it for you right there. You can also tour the distillery. It's a great thing to do if you're looking for something to do on the weekend. And maybe you got family in town. Why don't you go show off Houston's best distillery, 16711 Hollister Street in Houston. Just go to Whitmire's.com. And if you get a chance, just go out there and check out the bar. You can just have a few drinks there and take a bottle home with you. Whitmire's, Houston's first distillery, is Houston's best distillery, Whitmire's.com.
Boy, you is an op. Coming for you and I'm coming for mine. Yeah, 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 yeah. Touchdown. Touchdown. Bound on my waist like an uptown. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boy, need a condom. I'm up in it. It's like I'm back in the dive pound. Hold up. Shoes on my...
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. You know what that music means. It's time for Star of TV. Radio,
stage and screen,
porno, everything. Jerome Solomon, what's going on, Jerome?
I haven't done any movies in a long time. What are you talking about?
I heard there was one with you and one with you and John McClane. I heard about
again. That was under a pseudonym.
Oh, okay.
It was fantastic.
You know, we talked yesterday. We talked yesterday about the Titans Texans game, and it was a great win because they won, and it was an important game for them to win. But it definitely didn't make me feel any better about this team going forward. Did you get that feel, or do you feel like everything's fine down on Kirby?
Oh, well, nothing's fine, but everything is as it has been. So no, nothing changed with that win. But it didn't surprise me at all. I mean, this is what I was expecting from them all season. I picked them to win most of the games against the good teams they played, because that seems to be what this team is going to be like, which is just don't know when they're going to throw in a gun. It's coming right after a nice win. I mean, I wrote something and the Texans brass were all upset because I said that the fire marshal Bill is like a fireman who's also an arsonist. And he does well to put out the fire, but he started the darn thing. And that's pretty much what it was. Start a big fire against Denver and put it out here on Sunday. Let's see what they do this week.
Hey, Jerome, we're going to let you go real quick and see if we can call you back and get a better connection. We're having a hard time hearing you on our end.
Okay, all right.
We'll call you right back. All right, that's Jerome Solomon. I'll try and get him back. I don't know what's going on with that connection. But
yeah, that was.
I don't want to do that for five minutes.
No, I couldn't understand a word of it. So he says, watch The Boys on Amazon. We've already watched that.
Yeah,
I think it was one of the best new series of the year, without a doubt. And then I do want to get into this. Somebody says, sorry to sound like a novice, but why would you play an over of 6 but not 6.5 when 7 goals win either one and 6 wouldn't? Yeah, absolutely. And there's a reason for that. And remind me later after we talk to Jerome again, and I will explain why.
Jerome, right. We got you.
Is this better?
Oh, yeah. It is better, yeah.
Yeah, I have to go outside and freeze my what's off for you boys, but you know.
Oh, who's, you're not worried about that. I mean,
how important you guys are.
Not like you're using them, I'm sure.
but I don't know what part you missed, but I'll give you the end part of it again. That, you know, the Texans brass got upset with sending nasty letters because I wrote that, you know, Fire Marshal Bill is like a fireman who's really good at putting out fires that he starts, you know, and had a nice fire he set against Denver, and he put it out against the Titans. This is kind of what they do.
Do you have any concerns about Deshaun? Because Deshaun, there was a lot of things to like about Deshaun's game on Sunday, but boy, both those interceptions to me, particularly the second one, are just really unacceptable. The first one, he's basically throwing not only across his body, but basically across the field. And then the second one, he's throwing into, I don't know if it was quadruple or quintuple coverage. I mean, are you concerned that things like that are going to cost his team against a better team?
Well, I'm not concerned that it's going to cost him. I'm concerned that he doesn't. I mean, you tell me a quarterback that doesn't make those mistakes. I mean, the guy's been playing the league for a short amount of time. He's going to make those mistakes. He makes fewer of them now than he has. Those are inexcusable, but I can show you Peyton Manning making the same mistake in playoff games when he's been in the league for a long time. This week is how great Peyton Manning is all of a sudden again. We overanalyze the quarterback. It's much more about the plays that you do make. And, yeah, when they lose in the playoffs, it will be – there will be plays that Deshaun made that help them lose the game. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to be the case for every quarterback in the league on every team, except for the guy who wins it all. He probably will make mistakes that could have cost his team the wins, but it didn't. So those are pretty ridiculous, though, because they were just unnecessary. They weren't even there. The plays weren't there. So, like, what are you thinking? Are you that comfortable and that relaxed? I'd much rather him be that comfortable and relaxed than being nervous and afraid. And he makes enough plays to make up. I think he's going to keep improving. But, yeah, when we lose, we're going to be able to point some play like that and go, he can't do that. Like, we'll see that from anybody else too.
Hey, Jerome, I think we're going to have to punt on this, man. We can't hear you at all. It's just not working, man.
And that way you could stay warm as well.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. Yeah, sorry, guys. I think Jerome and I think Jerome feels kind of the way we do about that game. I think that – I don't think he's surprised that they won, but I don't think that he suddenly thinks that everything's okay. And I'm in that boat as well. I think there's still plenty of problems going on.
Man, he's right. Guys are going to make mistakes, and I get that. I just think there's a level where you just say, and especially that second one. And I wasn't as horrified by the first one as you. I don't think it was a good play.
I just don't like throwing from like running to one side of the field and then throwing it across the field across your body to the other.
And I agree. With
there
that.
Was a great defensive play made. But he should have never had, that's a throw you just don't make because it the ball's up there long enough for guys to make a play on it.
And he was a second late on it because the guy was wide open before that, and you could have afforded to do that. And that was just, you know, again, trying to make a play. I that one I hate less than the other. The other one was just dumb. I mean, you can't throw a ball through six guys. I don't know what you're trying to do. And I don't like the play call on that one. And I don't know where you think that works, play action, throw into the middle of the defense while they're all standing there. But, you know, there were also some good things. Good and bad people on both sides, AJ.
There always is.
So to explain why a half means so much, the reality is my numbers say on a certain game, they say what I do is I basically run a projected score. If it says 6.3, then I'm likely to take the over and – if it's of six, but if it's 6.5, I'm not going to do it because, you know, that half goal is huge in hockey because there's not that many goals scored. And right now the league average is 6.02. So if you think a game's going to score that many, over six is the direction to go. But if it's a half, then 5.38, boy, that was weak. But a half there makes a huge difference. Now, if I run it and it says 6.78 goals, then I'll take over 6.5. And there are some games where I'll do that. But the Vegas has adjusted the lines up. You almost never saw 6.5 in the past. And the reason for it is because the average goals is over six in a given game. So they're adding those halves in games where it looks like it'll go over six to make it more difficult. And yes, because an over six, I get a push if I'm even close to right. And I'll take that. But that's why. So a half makes a huge, huge difference. Bama Papa Joe wants to know if Jerome was jogging.
I don't know. He might be.
It's too cold for Jerome to be out there jogging.
I don't think Jerome exercises.
I don't think he has to. That guy's metabolism is...
It really is because he doesn't exercise and he eats like he eats like trash and it doesn't affect him. Like he never gets fat.
Mm. He said his phone has been deteriorating and getting worse and worse. So he's going to try calling us from a different phone line next week.
Okay. That'd be great.
Or the week after, I guess, because we won't be here next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm not doing a show next Tuesday. I don't know about you guys.
I will not be here. So we're not here Tuesday, Wednesday, but we're here the rest of the week.
Yes.
So,
because we're grinders.
And there'll be a lot to talk about. There'll be a Texans game on Monday to talk about, and then we'll have to set up the NFL. There's bowl games going on that we'll be betting on. We're only a couple days away from that.
Yeah.
So.
You will find that other shows are taking time off. But us, no. We're here for you.
Man,
we're here for the people.
I think we're the only ones that actually love doing shows.
That's probably
I think everybody else thinks of it as a job.
I mean, those, the other guys all probably have lives and stuff, too.
Well, yeah, there is that. I mean, I if I'm not here, I'm going to be working on Sports Map anyway, so why not?
Yeah.
This is more fun. I'll squeeze in a call real quick. Lamont, go.
Hey, fellas. I can hear a lot of people talking about Tom Brady and how he's falling off, and I see it with my own eyes. Nobody is wrong about it. We all see it with our own eyes. But what made I thought about something. If you were to go back and look at his first three Super Bowls, he wasn't a polished quarterback then, and they won. Only thing I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots are right back there in the Super Bowl again. And AJ, I know that you probably already got Google up and doing your thing. Just go look at it, man.
No, you're right. I've said on this show before, this Patriots team is much more like the early Super Bowl teams than the last couple. I mean, they're winning with defense just like those early Super Bowl teams did.
Yeah, defense, and they ran the ball really well.
Yeah,
and
Brady was
a game manager.
Yeah, this is exactly like that. But it's just concerning because it's also kind of a different NFL now than it was in the early 2000s when they started this run. It's hard to win big games when you score 14 points anymore. And I don't think 14 points is going to beat the Ravens or the Chiefs this year, is my concern for the Patriots.
And I do think we all agree that there's been some regression with Brady, but he doesn't have the weapons either.
Nope, there's no Gronk.
And that makes a huge difference. I think if he has Gronk, we're not talking about him looking washed up. Because
I don't know, though. When I see the ball come out of his hand, it just doesn't look like he's got that. And it's not like he was some sort of rocket arm to begin with, but it just doesn't move like the way an elite guy throws the ball. And maybe because I've gotten more used to seeing guys like Patrick Mahomes throw the ball, and
I think that's part of it because he's never had a ball that just blasted out of his hand. He's always been, except for that middle stretch there when he's throwing for 5,000 yards, I think his arm was at his best. But the last few years, it hasn't been like that.
No.
He's just, he puts the ball in the right place most of the time. And, especially watching that game against the Texans where guys were nowhere near where they were supposed to be and they just weren't on the same page. I mean, I think that was as much on his idiot receivers as it was on him. But that doesn't mean there's not regression. And I don't know how much more regression he can actually have and still be an effective quarterback. Because right now he's not. He's a below-average quarterback. And it's...
But it doesn't mean that the Patriots are a below-average team, certainly.
No.
They just have to find a different way to win, which if I was counting on anybody to figure it out, it'd be Belichick.
I agree. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I've been waking up throughout the night. My mind just chasing the...
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. ESPN 97.5 is celebrating Christmas early with our 12 Days of Christmas. All day today, we're giving away $50 gift cards to Berry Hill Baja Grill. At 5:50, we'll take caller 10 to 713-780-3776. You'll win $50 to try some of Berry Hill's famed tamales and other delicious dishes. Stay tuned for your chance to win all day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and to order your tamales just in time for the holidays, head to BerryHillBajaGrill.com. I notice a lot of people do tamales for Christmas now.
Yes.
It's like a very...
it's a Texan thing to do.
It is a Texan thing to do. I'm here for that. I like that idea.
Pro tamale?
Yes, I am pro tamale. Okay. My wife does not like tamales.
My wife doesn't like tamales either.
It's very weird. One of the steak nights we go to, one of the sides is it's East End Hardware. They do it on Monday, so you already missed it this week. But they have tamales and enchiladas as a side to the steak.
Ooh.
I mean, it's and Mexican beans. It's just a very cool setup. And, you know, I get both the tamales because she won't eat them.
What do you like on your tamales?
A good tamale, I will eat plain.
Okay.
You know, occasionally I'll put a little salsa on, but I put salsa on everything.
I like hot sauce, and I like a chili, if you can put some chili on there.
That's an interesting... I may have to try that.
Yeah.
I can put chili... Chili is almost like bacon to me. I can put chili on anything, and it's always better. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, disclaimer, before I do this, listen to the whole gym before you start calling me a horrible person.
Oh, boy.
Talking about a school bus and things, all right?
All right.
Just hear the whole gym out.
Hear me out.
Okay, because it starts off, and like, what the hell is he doing this for? 30 students were evacuated from a Florida school bus this week in what the driver reported as a possible hazardous materials incident. Okay, so I see where you guys are right now.
We're worried about children.
Yeah, and you should be.
The safety of children. They're the future of our society.
Half of the evacuated students were treated on the scene for mild respiratory irritation after smelling, quote, a strong odor. All were transported to a nearby high school to be picked up by their families. It says all 30 students on the bus were accounted for and treated in release. So they thought it was a hazardous material. It turned out to be Axe body spray, which a student had apparently sprayed on the bus. When no one confessed to using the spray, they interviewed every student to, quote, sniff out the culprit.
Did they find him?
They did. But apparently it's somehow a thing with kids spraying it all over each other to smell nice or prank one another. And they said they must have watched a lot of episodes of Band of Brothers because they would not say who did it. But it wasn't too difficult for them to figure it out because he had sprayed it all over himself. So it was ruled a prank, but still under investigation. And of course, footage from the bus's cameras will be reviewed and further interviews conducted.
Man, they first started putting cameras on buses when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And that's when things started to go downhill for me. I mean, like once I had a car, then it wasn't a problem, but boy, that awkward time between.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was rough.
Yep. Can't be, sitting next to the girls now.
No.
Regardless, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. I got kicked off the bus a lot of times when I was a kid. And like two of the things I can remember. One, I had to sit in the seat right behind the bus driver because I was always in trouble.
Yeah.
So my assigned seat was the seat directly behind the bus driver, and I kept trying to give him music to play. I would try to give him a cassette to play, like a mixtape, and he would never play it, and he always played classical music. And one day he was riding along, and I kept waving my tape at him, and he like swiped at it. So I reached over, I ejected his tape, and threw it out the window.
Ah.
And that got me in trouble. And then another time, this is back when I was able to sit in the back of the bus. I had cut the, you remember when Pepsi came in, it was called Big Slams. It was like Shaq was the guy who was like, promoted it. And it was basically like a liter of Pepsi, and it had a wide mouth, bottle.
Hmm.
So it had a really big mouth. And so art class, I cut the top off of the Pepsi bottle, off the Big Slam bottle, and I put a balloon on the other end, and I used it as basically a slingshot to shoot Skittles. And I thought that it would, you know, it could potentially sting if it hit someone with a Skittle. What I didn't think could happen is I would fire a Skittle towards the back of the bus and the back window would explode while we were driving down the road. And that was a school suspension.
Yeah, that'll get you. I don't think I ever rode the bus except on field trips, because when I was young, everything was walking distance for like the first three schools I went to. And I mean, less than a mile away.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And then because like there was an elementary school that was right across the street from my grandmother's where I stayed a lot growing up. And then junior high was the longest walk and it was maybe a half mile or no, middle school. And then junior high was not even that.
It was, well, for me, it was 5 miles uphill both ways.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
I'll never tell that story because it wasn't true. And we didn't start high school until 10th grade back then. So by then I could drive.
Yeah.
And the high school was about 4 miles away, but I drove. So it was never a real issue. All right. I have another story for you. Just kind of an update on Italian soccer racism. Remember the Black Friday story that we talked about where the newspaper put two black players on there and had Black Friday as a headline and how there's all kinds of racism going on in the Italian league right now? Well, the Italian league decided they want to fix this.
Okay. So got rid of all the black players.
No, they're going to start they're starting a no to racism campaign.
Oh, that's worked well in the States.
Well,
all you do is just say, hey, don't be racist. And then people stop. It's a proven method.
Well, they hired an artist to come up with something to go with their no to racism campaign. And guess what he used?
The N-word.
Three monkeys.
Oh, no.
And one of them has like a blue outline, and one of them has an orange outline, and one of them has a green outline. and he says he created the pieces to, quote, change people's perceptions. For an artist, there's nothing more important than trying to change people's perceptions via their work. With this trio of paintings, I tried to show that we are all complex and fascinating creatures who can be sad or happy, Catholic, Muslim, or Buddhist, but at the end of the day, what decides who we are is not the color of our skin. You know, I'm all for trying to stop racism is a great thing. You think that's the best choice?
Dumbass!
That wouldn't be my choice, but I also wonder if that's considered a racist thing in other countries. Like,
I don't know, but there's the pictures.
Yeah, that's not...
Now, in all honesty, pretty good paintings.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you wonder.
Pretty good racist renderings.
Yeah, if you're into racist renderings, they got you covered.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, I don't know. Well, no, of course they know what it means because they're the ones throwing bananas on the pitch.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, that should have been my hey man bleep that, but.
Oh, I've got a good one for that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been saving this one up all
day. Can't wait. Can't wait.
I was like, oh, yeah, this will be a good one for that segment.
Awesome. Aaron, are you ready to rock and roll with that today?
I've between a couple of things, but I have a feeling mine are not going to come anywhere near what you guys have.
All right.
Well, that was going to be mine. We had a couple minutes at the end there, and I wanted to get that out, but so we could have a couple more minutes to talk about it.
You got some time to step your game up, Aaron.
I will find another one.
Hey, guys, everybody loves giving gifts around the holidays, but shopping can be kind of a hassle. So avoid the crowded stores, long checkout lines, and terrible traffic. How about this? Go to CBDMD.com. And right now at CBDMD's Week of Giving, through December 19th, they've got daily deals on everything from topicals and tinctures to gummies and pet products, which means a full week of eye-popping prices with no lines, no fighting with strangers, and most importantly, no traffic. And to make sure you never miss out on any one-time offers on their Instagram page, CBDMD.USA, they'll be updating their Instagram daily with that day's featured product, as well as plenty of other great deals and fun holiday ideas. And when you're checking out, be sure to use the coupon code ESPN975, and you'll get 20% off. That's coupon code ESPN975, all one word. Finish your holiday shopping. Take care of the loved ones in your life. CBDMD.com. Don't worry about it. With CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975, and make sure you follow them, CBDMD.USA on Instagram.
To sleep again till I meet it once more, to descend to the physical, to spread kindness to those whose hearts have grown cold.
answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.